Welcome to Innovation Calling,
the podcast where we connect the creators for the next big thing. We're your hosts, Aaron Smith
and Sia Yasotornra.
All right, welcome to another episode of Innovation Calling. I'm Aaron Smith.
And I'm Sia Yasotornrat. Super excited, it's my word of the day, to take a little different spin on Innovation Calling. Normally, we'd highlight companies directly, but today I've got two very special guests. I've got Asha and Vivek Kangvrakar from Avacraft, as well as Beetle Q. We're going to be focusing on your origin story today and where innovation comes from, the inspiration behind you guys starting your own businesses. So first and foremost, I'd like to say thank you, Asha, and thank you, Vivek, for joining us today.
Thank you for having us here. It's exciting.
Well, I know we want to start on this story because I know you're not like seasoned entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Now you are, but at first you were not.
I did work for TI. Asha is actually a very accomplished engineer as well, electrical engineer, but she just hated the corporate life. So she decided to stay home, take care of kids, and then, the adventure started.
Where did the idea come from? Obviously, I can probably guess. Tell a little bit about what it is first.
Yeah. It's like I love my family. I always cook for them. I try different cuisine, different recipes for them. And during that process, I used to use a lot of stainless steel cookware. And then when I wash, some used to rust and some used to crack. So when I had any questions on the cookwares, and when I go back and ask the manufacturer or vendors, I never got the straight answer, or sometimes I never got the answer about the quality of the cookware or what stainless steel they use. Some of the details which I wanted while cooking, because we are like a health freak. We always want to see what is happening, or the quality. Actually, it matters. Everything goes in the food. So then that made me think that why shouldn't I start? I design and create a quality cookware. Create a quality cookware where people can actually bank on us and trust us that, while cooking for their loved ones. So that's what Avacraft was born.
Okay.
So, which is fascinating. Do you have a background in cookware design or anything like that?
No, not at all. I don't have any background on cookware, stainless steel quality, nothing. I have a master's in electrical engineering. It's just the anything technical things I can understand what's happening, like stainless steel. I can go back and read, what's happening. It's everything I studied about the stainless steel quality, the stainless steel grades, which is best and which doesn't rust
for composition of all
the metal. Yeah, it's all we studied and then started.
If I'm clear, you started a business of which you know nothing about the industry. You had to start literally breaking out some books or Googling or whatever, research on the materials you're even looking to make. Did you have any connections within this industry?
No, it's all everything we learned. We studied everything and then we learned. And even the cookware design. So we have a designer, according to our specification, he designs. With the quality, the cookwares have to look beautiful in your kitchen. So when you keep it or use it in your kitchen, you should be proud of it. Or if someone comes and asks, oh, this is so beautiful, from where did you buy? So it's everything, all the aspects.
So I would say, looking and seeing Asha for a long time, it all started in the kitchen. Our kitchen, getting frustrated over a few things, realizing that that's a problem. Yeah, I mean, do we know anything else? We have no idea, but can we do it? And that's where she started,
So, and I want to get into the, not from a permission perspective of asking him permission to start a business, but you're at home cooking, he comes and you're like, I want to start a cookware business. Like, how does this conversation happen? And how, let's be honest. I mean, listen, I'm all about crazy, but it's a little crazy.
Yeah.
It is.
Were you like, yes, let's do this, or was there caution at hand?
Yeah, that's a good question. I remember that conversation. I used to work in Texas Instruments one day. I mean, I came in the evening and I see Asha in the kitchen. She's trying to prep for dinner. She's frustrated and then she's like, you know what? I'm going to start this. I'm gonna design my own cookware so that I don't have to ask anyone, but I know that this is the best. So I know that she's frustrated. She'll cool down after some time, maybe after a glass of wine. And I just went to get fresh. That's it. That was the first day.
He just exposed how many glasses of wine before you were saying, Vivek, we got to change this up. So you are, to me, like, what a fascinating story of you don't have the background.
No.
You don't know anybody in the industry.
No.
And then you guys said, I'm going to make this better.
Yeah, that, yes. That's where it started.
That's right. When you said that after some time she'll cool down, but that passion was there. I mean, that thought was there that let me provide a high quality cookware and stand by it. And any questions comes, just be there to answer them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things, I think how it came is, Asha, I think, experienced it over a longer time. This, right?
Yeah, it's not like one day.
And her problem is, how do people manage this, right? How do mothers like me actually face this? And then do they get answers? I mean, why is this problem? She used to try call the manufacturers to ask questions about some cookware. Most of them, they just don't even pick up the phone.
It's like when they say it's induction based, it can use it on induction. So I wanted to know what kind of base they use. If they're using aluminum for conduction, so is it inside or will it leach into my food? So those were like basic quality questions. And those are important.
Right.
So, yeah, I never got an answer. So, I mean, if you search in the Google, you find. But I wanted it from the manufacturing point of view. Because if you're a manufacturer and you know your metal composition and everything, you'll be able to answer correctly according to the specification of the cookware. So that's what I do whenever customer asks me questions. So I know the metal composition. I know what goes behind that. So I am the best person to explain them, answer them. Okay, this is what goes. This is what how it is.
I think it almost happened that there was this imagination she had. Like, I want to do this. I want to provide this. I don't have to ask questions. Or I can bank on it. I can pick up a phone and email someone, ask about it. I just get answered. That's what I want to create. And rest all was unknown. That's it.
Yeah. It's totally unknown.
How was completely unknown. And that's what it actually got me a little worried that how are you going to do this? But I love that passion in Asha that I want to get that answer to everyone.
It's a strong lie for
yes.
sure. You know,
next day we decided on we didn't know what are we doing, how we are doing, what's the starting point. Next day we remember that we created the name first.
Yeah.
We just decided on EvaCraft. We just formed the LLC first, formed the company first. And then we decided
on,
okay,
next step. So that it motivates us to, okay, now you cannot go back.
You cannot go back, yeah.
You're official. You're an LLC. Better get a product put together.
That's right.
Let's take a step back. This market you're going into is heavily saturated, if you think about it, and well-known.
It is.
Products are already there. I mean, clearly I'm not a cook, so I don't know the brands. But, like, I'm thinking, like, the major 3M and, you know, Teflon, all those product mm-hmm. brands,
yes.
they already have an established reputation.
Yes.
So you knew going in that you are going to a saturated market, but your positioning is that it's more eco-friendly and it's aesthetically pleasing and it's usable. It's much more practical in usage.
Yes, that's totally true. It's not that I am a totally innovating whole cookware business. It is there, but I am adding a lot of features, like, as you mentioned, that aesthetically it should look good and it should be easy to use. For example, I can give you my sauce pots, like saucepans. It's it should be a day-to-day usable to people or moms or, you know, anyone, wives. It should not be too heavy so that they cannot use. I mean, it's like difficult to use day-to-day, and it should not be too light so that it like looks very cheap. So it has to be like a right weight to use it, and with the quality, with the stainless steel quality too. And, you know, for right hand, left hand, there is a both side spouts so that both can use.
So it's ergonomic.
There are small features I incorporated everything in one. So that's what people liking. All my customers, they like it. I mean, the small things, I mean, the details you are taking care in one product they're finding.
Did you find you had an education barrier to overcome too? Because I know there's some people that are going to be very aware that there's an issue with pans and what's in them. And, but I would think too, a lot of people are really unaware of the major issue at hand.
Yeah.
Did you feel you had to do a lot of education too to get into the market?
to the customers?
Yeah, just like consumer, right. Like to be like, you've got a problem here, and this is why we developed this, because what's in your pans right now is bad.
Yeah. No, we did not take that approach. Actually, the approach we took is just telling customer why this, how this pan is designed, like, right from the composition.
Okay. Design forward.
Right from the designing, okay. Doing the molds. And actually, she has even scrapped a lot of molds. Molds are very expensive to do. We have a lot of trophies at home. You will see like a ton of samples.
Oh, yeah,
of
it is.
The products, everything. You will see that in Amazon video as well. Like this carafe that she did, it took like 10 samples and almost like 8 months of time, 8 to 9 months of time to do one product.
So with the thickness and the glass quality and the shape and the lid, how it pours, it should not drip. Everything, yeah. So it's very small details.
So you say, again, you didn't know anybody, you didn't have any contacts in the industry. How did you find your manufacturer? We talked about this very briefly once before.
That was a difficult task to find a manufacturer. It took like 5 to 6 months of a span. It's like this was, it was our idea to approach this way, that use the higher quality and with the good design, a beautifully looking design. When we used to tell the specification to a manufacturer, like a lot of manufacturers, just they used to hang up. Boom, done.
No, not a single word. They'll just do bam. That's it.
It's difficult. You know, we cannot do that because they have their set
machines
or set molds, you can say. And then these specification is difficult for them.
And I think it goes back to see what you said. It's a saturated market, very well established market. People are making money in this market. I mean, no doubt, right? And it took a long time for us even to think where to find manufacturers. I mean, where do you go?
Just Google it? I mean, how did you go about that? I'm still trying to understand this.
It's all Google, go around, talk to people, just figure out what is where. We didn't even know how the manufacturer looks, shape, color, nothing, right? I mean, you just know there's someone as a manufacturer, we just need to figure out. And
a lot of used to go call, chat, like video call.
A lot of them even... I remember called her crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you want to lose money? I mean, we have no time to do all those things. It's already established market. I think it's...
And then they're telling that like 80% of the market is using this kind of stainless steel material. Why do you want to use the other kind, which is the high quality?
Nobody will pay for it.
Yeah, nobody will pay for
it. It's cost prohibitive.
It's a cost for him also, and it's a time for him for everything. They said, no, we cannot do it. But we found a couple of manufacturers, they really understood what our passion is, and they really wanted to work with us. Yeah, that's how, we have now a couple of manufacturers. They're, till now, they're really good. Now they understand, you know, that time, even we are a little hesitant to do work, do business with you. We knew that you're going to be good. Now we are giving so much of volume. They said, we made a right decision.
So we go meet them, and they're... I think last meeting, the CEO of that manufacturing company made a comment. You know, when you guys came and you started, I know that I'm going to lose money. You're going to lose money. It's crazy. And I never put you on priority, but now you're my priority.
Well, can I go into that a minute? Because this is innovation calling. You are innovating an industry where it's pretty like
established.
Established, we've got to set our ways. 99% of people, as they're going down your path, you're being told you're crazy, you're being told this is expensive, you're being told you're going to lose money, would be like, all right, maybe this is a really bad idea. Like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. What is going through your brain as you're hearing all this that you're going, you don't know what you're talking, even though you've been in the manufacturing these pans for longer than I've ever known about a pan, but what is making you go, I know this is going to work?
Yeah, it's like... Yeah, sometimes even I feel, what am I doing, right? It's like people are telling that, you know, that's not right. Like so many people are talking about it. Mm-hmm. Then I said, no, this is my passion. And that's what we started EvaCraft. So I should not look back. So,
and the problem is real. It's in the kitchen. It's happening. That's what, I mean, I see that this is a problem.
It's a tangible problem because you're still experiencing it.
We can solve that. Yeah, we can solve that.
There's one thing we always, I remember Asha saying that we can go back. But if you go back, I mean, there is nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. We might as well just jump in and see where we can go. And did we lose money? We did lose money. Actually, the initial molds, we did lose money. And remember, we were talking, walking outside and the topic of MBA came.
Yeah, you said like, you said like we lost money. That's why when you do MBA, you have to pay so much of money. Here, real time, we are learning. You know,
so this is our MBA.
This is our MBA fee. So yeah, it's okay.
And much more effective than an MBA too, I think.
Yeah.
It was hard though. I think I could feel it that I would say 99% of the doors that we knocked, they just discouraged us. That what crazy. I mean, go back. I mean, I'm in this. There were people who said, I'm in this business for like 50 years. Don't tell me all this thing. Shut the door. That's it. End of the story. So there also we knew that we need somebody, the manufacturer, who's passionate like us. Maybe who's not like 50 years experience. Maybe just started and he wants to get an opportunity. So it taught us a lot. So who to talk to. So we started looking for that type of manufacturer. And
we had a faith that we will hit someone that the passion wavelength matches to us. So we will find someone. We had that faith. So we just keep looking. And then we hit the right people.
So it just reminds me that your story is very similar to the, you know, the Sriracha.
Mm-hmm.
Or in our family, it's called Sriracha, bad accent. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay. Their story is very similar where he needed a very specific type of pepper, went to a pepper farm, and they all rejected him, many of them. And this one farmer was like, look, I'll give you a small plot. Here's some peppers. Have at it.
Just do it. Yeah.
Well, and then obviously, you know, the product has blown up to the point where now that farmer is the dedicated farmer for, and he just converted all of his product to the manufacturer of these peppers now, which is hopefully, you know, you guys get that level of success with your manufacturer.
Let's hope, yeah.
Let's hope that.
I mean, but the trick is, though, the founder found a farmer with the same passion or understood your passion and identity and mission.
Yes.
So what is your passion? What is actually the mission of AvaCraft? You guys mentioned it, but you haven't really directly said it yet.
Yeah. This is like to give all my customers like a quality kitchen product with the amazing customer service or answer them whenever they have any questions. So, yeah, this is the goal of AvaCraft.
So when you're talking about, like, you know, obviously delivering a great pot, pan,
yes,
vase, appliance, well, I don't know what's called appliance, but a tool, utensil in the kitchen.
Yes.
But you're talking about customer service. What do you mean by customer service? Because to me, I'm going to buy a pot and pan at some, you know, brick and mortar shop, take it home, and I'm done. I never talk to them again. I throw the box away, and that's it. Yeah. So what do you mean by customer service within this
segment? You want to cover
segment?
You can cover. Yeah, you can cover. I'll add you.
The way I see Asha in this, and maybe you can add, is she has this picture of you buy something, go home. You should know that there is somebody standing next to you to help you with that product anytime. Okay, so that's where it started. It all started. So when our products sell mostly on e-commerce. So when somebody buys it, orders, goes home, right from that point onwards, even when people, when they don't buy, they have any questions about products, they just write. Even from that point onwards to any time they have any questions, anything, they just need to shoot an email. That's it. And they get response.
Like, yeah, sometimes they really love the pot and they share pictures. See, this is what I made in your pot, in your sauce pot. They made a gravy or they made some soup. They show me, okay, this is really great. And I made it and then I used it and cleaned it neatly and it was very clean and there was nothing was sticking on the bottom or anything. That's how. Those are all the positive reviews. Sometimes if they have any questions on can I use it on the induction? How does that induction work? Or what kind of steel have you used? So I can explain them in detail. This is how what the process is, everything. Yeah.
So you can tell about type of customers that they approach, they write.
I get emails, I get mails, handwritten mails to me that it was
They're
really
good.
They're
all there in the office.
I have stuck, yes. See, that's a customer feedback I get for the AvaCraft. And they also write, I love your products. You know, henceforth, I'm sticking to AvaCraft. Right now, we have around 10, 11 products. They ask me, okay, when are you launching new products? So I want these kind of, I use these things in my kitchen. So you have these and I want some more. Can you please make that? So I'll wait for that. When you make or when you launch the product, please let me know so that I can go and buy. And no matter how much you plan, I run out of inventory sometimes. So when I run out of inventory, they email me or I can chat also. I have a chat in the website. They chat and saying that when is your next the products coming? When are you releasing it? So I'll wait. Let me know once your products are back, and please let me know. I'll go and buy. So they wait for me for Eva Craft products to come back.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is a response.
So it's a good problem you're having, as far as you've got customers saying, look, I want your product. And at this point, your supply chain, if you will, you're mm-hmm. working through that, obviously, mm-hmm. as a startup and yeah. new business.
Yes.
So you've got to talk to me about that, because I might love your product, but if I got to wait 4 or 5 months or whatever, exactly. I'm not going to love you as exactly. much anymore. So how are you guys addressing that?
That's what Vivek helps me with, that supply chain management. Yeah. If he can.
You know, this is, we are learning every step. Every day is learning. So when we started with this, Asha drives this, and with her passion, we soon realize it's not only that, there are so many things that are not cool behind this that you need to take care of. Supply chain, mm-hmm. logistics, you got to deal with the payments and issues and whatnot, right? So I mainly take care of that, planning of inventories up front. Like fourth quarter is a big one always for the gifts and the season. So how do you plan for that? In spite of that, issues happen. Like the ship broke in the middle of the ocean. Now what do you do?
So according to that time frame, we had calculated. So now again, maybe 10 days, I think I'll run out of inventory. Right. That's
So I'll cover a little bit like the good. But like you said, see, the good problem is customers come back and say, hey, I want to buy this product, I want to gift it, but it's not there. When is it going to come back? I mean, they always have a choice. They can go buy, but they wait. Right? And we proactively go and tell them, hey, the product is here, and we might send a discount code. Here is a discount code, you go buy it. Because we just want to appreciate their business. Last year, I'll tell you one story that happened, which actually really motivated me personally, is this was around Christmas time. We ran out of one of the main products. That's it. It was not there. I mean, we're losing sales. That's okay. But a lot of customers started writing, hey, I was planning to buy that to give to my daughter, my son, whatever. And where is it? When is it coming? And there were actually, I remember, about 5 to 6 of them. They wrote every day. Is it going to come today?
Everything's going to come today.
And then the product actually came, it ran out right from December 1st till December like 18th or so. So it was a major portion of that period that we lost. Yeah. The moment it came, I don't know what came to Asha, but what she did is she noted the addresses of those 6 people. She gift wrapped the product in Christmas and she just shipped them free.
Expedited so that it should reach before the Christmas.
They don't have to buy. I mean, they coming and asking is actually great inspiration for me. Here's your product. That's it. So she did that. So that actually makes, I think, customers feel that somebody is there to care. There's always, there are a lot of, there are also times you hear good as well as bad. You know, the product, mm-hmm. you always have the, it's a manufacturing quality. So there's quality escape,
yeah.
So people do write back thing that, hey, Asha, I found this problem in the product. What do I do next? So she immediately gets on that. I mean, she not only refunds, but she sends a new product personally check to them. Because you have spent your hard-earned money, you should get this. But beyond that, she puts it down as a process and works with the manufacturer and quality to make sure it is fixed forever. So it's a learning as well. Every day is a learning. It's a lot of roller coaster there as well.
But if you get some not so good feedback, then it's an opportunity for us to work more hard or work on the quality, learn from it. And then, it's working actually.
And coming back to CS question, right, on the supply chain, when I was working in Texas Instruments, I did have some exposure to supply chain too. I did a lot of this autonomous car technology and things. And I always saw how important it is to make sure that those chips reach customer in time. Otherwise, they miss their production. Otherwise, you have to pay even penalties, which is in millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Right? But I saw it live in Eva Craft. And believe me, when we started Eva Craft, it is a roller coaster, but we never thought supply chain and logistics will be so complex.
It is so complex.
There are so many things affected. Even if there is a little storm, you can actually lose all the products. And nobody is responsible for it. You have to just...
Because it's Mother Nature.
That's it.
Yeah. It happened, right, for us?
In fact, one of the situations that happened is our products were already...
Already, everything to ship.
The manufacturer warehouse. It's going to load tomorrow. It stormed. And then the whole warehouse flooded. All the products are gone. That's it. So they're nice enough. They know they worked extra, but a lot of products we had to just destroy and then go for new production. So a lot of these things happen.
That time.
And the major challenge is the inventory calculation. There is no standard. There's no the answer for inventory calculation. We just go by ground rule. what do we estimate? I mean, Amazon also helps us a lot estimating the how much you will sell, but still you will either run out of inventory or you will order so much inventory that, you know, you have to pay a lot for the inventory.
And it's sitting.
Storage
it's
fees.
Sitting somewhere. Yeah. So and that's such a balance, right? When you're...
It mm-hmm. is, yeah. So we did learn a lot through the supply chain is how well in advance you want to order. How do you want to stage your payments? Now, this is where the business part that we started learning, that how do you want to play around with your capital? Because the reality of the business is you may have a passion, but if you don't know how to run your capital, you're done.
Yeah.
And we learned that through this. Yeah. So we learned how to stage these payments, how to work with the manufacturers, freight forwarders, everyone. Initially, Asha used to run around all this, calling the freight forwarders, but then slowly we realized she's getting busy. So we tied up with one company. They now help us right from picking up from manufacturer on the ship or on the trucks,
customs.
So we have a warehouse now, big warehouse in LA. So it all comes there. And from here, we just manage it using a MacBook. That's it. There is nothing at home. It all started with three boxes in our garage, then the garage getting full.
And then slowly started with the crates and then 20 feet. Now it's 40 feet containers. So yeah, that's a bigger one.
So I want to go back to before we, because I know we got a lot more supply chain to talk, but I want to go back to the customer service because this is a huge part of your business.
Yes.
As you scale, how do you maintain that?
No, I don't want to give the customer service part to anyone.
Okay.
I don't want to hire anyone to take care of it. It's either me or Vivek. We are going to handle that because that is our.
But you can't do that forever. You got to let it go. I mean, well,
or I
at
can
some
train
point you need to take a vacation,
yes.
right?
No, but I make sure during the vacation also, wherever the the questions come, till now I plan to reply or answer because the way we write with the passion or I don't think so. No, yeah. Anybody else will do that. Or maybe when it grows really big, the company grows really big, then I hire or we can train them that this is how we have to show them what's our passion is. So we have to see, we have to hire people which has the right attitude and passion what we have. It's not that they have the education or background or quality to do this, but we want to hire a people with the attitude and passion where they can live our dream.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that's one thing. I agree with her. It's the way she works with the customers, it's that's where I can see that emotional support from both sides. There have been times where she has
responded
and the customer responds back.
It's
and
like
they're almost like a chatting
emails.
Or email.
Oh, and then one customer also, she said, do you have kids? I have two kids, two girls. And she writes storybooks. So she already shared the link of her storybooks. You know, you can share it with your
kids. Turned out to be she's like
she's
a very popular author of kids storybooks based in Arizona. And
that's a connection.
All these connections start. So I think the most important for her is not really the business part of it. It's that that goal or the passion. Why am I driving this? So probably that's why she's saying that I don't want to give customers to anybody. They're mine. I want to take care of them.
Yeah. I think it's so critical, I think, to differentiate yourself as businesses. And I think that is a very innovative idea, too, by the way. I'm throwing that I word in there for a few seconds. But we, I think, as a culture, society, have let go of the need and importance of customer service. I can't tell you how frustrating it was. I walked into a paint store the other day, and these two gals, great people, I'm sure, behind the counter, we stood there for a good 15 minutes staring at each other, and finally I just said, can I get help here? I thought they were busy because they were like tapping away and gabbing with each other. Never looked at me once, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm being really patient here. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to step up. And then finally I said something, and then they looked at me, and they're like, oh, can we help you? And I'm like, I've been standing here.
And you don't, I was just going to say, you don't think of those girls. You think of the company, right?
Yep,
and you're
not the employees. Yes. It's like the company.
It's the company and the image. And that's what I think she is worried about. Asha is worried about that. If I give it to, because Karen, it is growing.
Yeah.
And I see her, she's busy. And her habit is that if something comes, that's the priority for her. Right? I mean, she also said, Vivek, can you look at the kitchen? I need to respond to this. It happens many times.
Oh, so Vivek is now the cook.
That's a big support I have. If I'm busy, I think girls and they enjoy cooking for me as well.
Yeah, we do that. And that's the passion on the customer side. And I think genuine, something she enjoys genuinely. That's her fun in this business.
Yeah, that's so. What, as the company grows, I, as I said, that I cannot do it, handle right. it alone. It's like, yeah, cross my fingers if that company grows like $20-30 million business, then yeah. I cannot handle it. That's what I want to hire people who have equal passion and attitude they have, I mean, what I have. Yeah.
And I want to point out too, just watching you two and telling this story, how it's, you are so supportive of her. Like, I mean, just in the situation too of, yeah. oh, now I got to help you support, I, you know, at first I'm working and now I got to come support your business and blah, 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 blah. But I think this is just so key to a successful business is that you both are passionate about it. You mm-hmm. both love it. I know yes. we'll talk about this, you know,
sure, yeah,
how
yeah.
you moved into yeah. your own, but it's just so key of I you take it for granted. But it's yeah. very unusual. You
it
know?
Is, it is. You know, yeah, it's like one, you cannot do it alone when you have right. some dream. You should always have a family support. That's what I really, you know, in me or I admire Vivek yeah. being so supportive. At any, he's a really strategic person and I'm really good at execution. So all the strategy he makes and he pass it on to me and then I execute it. So we have a lot of whiteboard discussion, you know, that we each, one of us give a really hard time. So we keep it that separate.
yeah, we fight.
yeah, so it's we do a lot of whiteboard discussion or we just go out for a walk and then we discuss a lot of things while walking. Yeah, it's yeah, really cool. good support.
For me, it's what drives me more is as a woman, as a mother, I see her at home. I mean, every morning she wakes up, she has to get kids ready. One of the passions she has is we literally avoid eating outside. It's all home cooked natural food. We don't
have any box foods at yeah home.
So we she doesn't mind cooking. Now taking care of the kids, taking care of me and managing business, it's hard. I think we as men, you know, how much ever we understand it in society, I think woman entrepreneur is hard. It's the challenge. Yes, and I feel proud of it, supporting her. Actually, I see her happy. She's, and I want her to cook good food for us, so I will support her more. But I am proud of her for where she goes. And I have two daughters. And I see that inspiration in them, that when they are growing, it's not like I'm a woman or I'm not a man.
That barrier.
They just see that in her, right? And they just think that they can actually keep going. They can do something. Yeah.
I can give one example. Back when we were in India, when I think he was working with the ATM system.
Yeah, some startup. Yeah.
Some startup. And immediately after our marriage, then I started doing masters. I wanted to do masters. And then we had, I think, Splendor, that Hero Honda. In India.
It's like a motorbike.
Motorbike, which
men are supposed to ride it.
Okay. Yeah, and back in India, I mean, never seen women riding the bike. So then I told her, no, can we buy a...
some women's, that small moped type of thing.
Kind of mm-hmm. thing, where there is no grade, the gears and all.
Yeah.
This normal the thing. Yes, and we said, why? Why can't you ride this? I said, me? Do you think? Then I said, yes, you can. And he taught me. So wow. I used to go to college and all the work on the bike.
Yeah. That sports bike.
That
type
sports
of thing.
Bike and kind of thing.
People on the road, they used to look at her. Wow, okay, woman riding this bike. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating that
yeah,
even
from
exists,
that
though.
Time, yeah, he has that support. And don't feel less that you are a woman. It's like...
Yeah.
Even in the market, if we see, I mean, just directly diverting in these Asian markets, you have bikes for men, bikes for women. You will see
it's
that,
like
right?
different.
Yeah. Is there really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, God. There are. But yes. My point is, why should you go behind it? I mean, if I can do it, you can do it. And we actually keep our girls like that. But if somebody can do it, you can do it. There is no reason you cannot do it. And I think, but I appreciate Asha. Actually, she would have stepped back then and there. But she knows she can do pretty much everything that I can do. In fact, I have no idea what's there in the banks. She knows everything. I've just stepped back from there. She takes care of all those things. We have divided it and we're managing it. So literally, it's like two men or two women at home. They can driving things.
It's a teamwork. Right? You're really working as a unit versus individuals. So you mentioned support. And I love that you have these two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
How are they supporting you guys on this endeavor at Avercraft?
You're putting them to work, right?
They do help. My elder one, she's 13-year-old. She's good at writing. So whenever I'm blogging or I am writing something, she helps me. She corrects me grammar or the good sentences. Because in high school or in middle school, they learn that, I don't know, the descriptive writing skills. or writing skills. Which I lack in it. Yeah, honestly speaking, yeah, I don't have that much idea. She helps me in writing the small blog, all the writing.
She comes and tells, Mom, you know what, when people look at it, this is how it should be.
Yeah.
So for them, what they're learning, they're able to put it to practical use. Mm-hmm. So, and we don't tell them anything new. So like whatever you learn, just do it and you can apply it. So she does that. She looks at the product description, she writes the recipes. Sometimes she writes, she looks at that and corrects.
And the second one helps me in checking all the product. She's just 9-year-old, like packing sometimes and, you know, small things, shredding papers.
But you're teaching them a real skills here.
Yes, so
your 13-year-old, for all intents and purposes, is basically doing copy editing, marketing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's more like a digital marketing.
And digital marketing.
She likes it. Sometimes she handles my Instagram Avercraft account too.
Social media.
Social
Do you understand
media.
You're setting her up for like her own business? As
yes.
A,
it's just, it is like normal. It's not like we want to do this or it's like purposely we are giving her the response. It's like casual thing. And that's what when I think before the podcast we were like discussing about not giving up or figuring out.
Yeah.
So they apply that to in school too, in their curriculum or in their day-to-day life in the school. Some challenging things comes. It's like, okay, we'll figure out, you know.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
some solution.
It.
So we sometimes see our 13-year-old Tanvi telling Sanjana, who's 9-year-old. So if Sanjana has some challenge with the homework or anything, she's sitting. So she's like, Sanjana, that's fine. You'll figure it out. Go behind it. Thing. And we feel good hearing this.
And it's so surprising to, you know, kids talking like this. We'll be somewhere sitting there. Oh, wow. Okay, that's cool.
Good.
That's good.
Yes.
Know? That's good. So whatever we are doing and whatever we are following our dreams, it's kids are learning.
Right.
And we don't, and then one important thing I think Asha said, we decided not to say that, hey, this is a business, come help in business.
Yeah.
We never
it's
do
just
that at home.
Keep it
it's
casual.
Like something, can you help with this? This is, it is. And they just enjoy doing part of it. And that becomes like a
It's like sharing the responsibility among all four of us.
Yeah. So you told me a story, Vivek, when we talked about how one time you had a product go wrong, I guess.
Yeah.
It was something about the induction. Or
yeah,
and so tell me about that story.
Yeah, okay. That's, you know, there is a saying that Ashina always said, there is, you just get out of the home and you will have Murphy waiting for you in the parking lot. It's like the Murphy's Law. It happens many times. And that's, I guess, one part of when you start growing, how you select people. Like it's an attitude. It's not the education or qualification. I think it's a passion. Can you live the dream? It's a little bit of that. So there was this product that we wanted to build, which is like a nonstick pan without any coats, without any chemicals.
It's like hard anodized.
Yeah, where it's oxidized nonstick. And it's pretty safe to use. And Asha wanted to make it horizontal. Basically, what it means is you can use it on a fire, induction, halogen, everything. So it's one pan you can use everywhere. And then she created the mold, we got the samples, I think it was all tested, and then it's a process. Then she said, okay, let's go mass production. And the mass production happened, the product is live in the market. And then one customer got back saying that, hey, this does not work on induction.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, okay. Now, we still said, okay, that's fine. It's just one customer, maybe his issue with some induction, that's fine. Let's keep going. Then the second email comes, and the third email comes. Then it's like, okay. Now we got to see, and then she immediately pulled off the live product. There's a huge inventory sitting. There are already like 100 customers or so. They already bought it. That was the tense moment because the most important is your passion to give customers something that they trust on. And this hits you really, really hard.
Yeah.
I remember sitting day in and
night,
basically for 3-4 days. We
so
did
to,
not
into
sleep.
What to do, what next.
And
how
you
will
have
we
to
have
fix
to
it.
Fix it? How will
it's a problem.
It?
You can either give up and go back saying that I'm sorry, I cannot do this, or get into it because you're responsible for it and solve it. That's where our kids were seeing us. We had to order food from outside that time because we had just no time to even cook. So go behind it. We immediately contacted manufacturer quality. They had no clue what's happening. They said, no, we have checked it. And even we shared videos, it's working for him, not working. So we knew there is something, this is more complex.
Yeah.
And I learned this in technology that if you have a product that works somewhere and does not work somewhere, it's usually extremely complex to debug.
That's what our engineering background, you know, started coming into picture.
So that's the last thing you ever want to see as an engineer.
Yeah.
I can't duplicate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're going through. And one thing that Asha immediately did is she contacted all those customers and asked, it's like being proactive. Hey, this is what we are seeing. And don't worry about it. We're going to refund you. And I want to make sure even after refunding, you will get the right product that you always wanted.
Right.
And that's what she did first. After that, some customers got back saying, thank you. Yeah, I understand. And some customers were not happy. I mean, it's part of, right? It happens. You have to just get it back. Then we went on debugging it. And after like 4 days of work, we found what the problem was. And it was one of these problems in the market where even the induction cooktops are just coming. People are just getting used to it. So there is no specification for it. And there are some induction cooktops, you know, they can detect a smaller utensils, and there are some they need the minimum diameter to.
The diameter, the base of the pan.
So we realized that there are some of those portable induction cooktops that people sell. They're like very portable. You can carry.
Yeah.
On those.
It worked.
It will not work. But if you have cooktops at home and other induction, it will work. So that told us, okay, so we did not think of this. We did not know this.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of such learning that comes.
So whose fault is that at that point? Is that the manufacturer's fault? Or
no,
is that...
I think it's more we take it on us.
Wow.
More because we define everything.
Yeah.
We define and design everything. So we said, that's fine. We reduced the price and we called the limitation of it and okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And then
we
changed
the
manufacturing
and
the mold for the next one.
The next one, yes.
But this was the time where I think we have easily lost 2-3 pounds each by just by sitting at home because it is actually a movement. And our kids saw this.
It's a big thing.
Kids saw this.
And what do they do to support you guys in
what
this?
What did Tanvi say?
Yeah, you go on. Go on.
She said, you know, it's okay, you will figure out, you know, don't worry. You know, you just keep doing it, you'll figure out.
Yeah. We involved her in some of this work as well because can you go get this? And we literally ordered so many induction cooktops at home.
Yeah, just to check that.
Yeah.
It's like 4 or 5 induction
so
cooktops of different sizes to, you know, test it.
Yeah, so measure this, how much is this, what the detection. So we have nothing to do with induction cooktop, but you know, that can make your product fail.
Yeah,
you have to go understand about it.
How it works, how the induction works, how the connection happens, and when the pan touches the induction, the base, how the connection happens, and how it.
It's all magnetism.
Know,
we learned it.
Everything. We learned it. You know?
So, see, that helps being an engineer. Everything helps.
Well, I was going to say, and from the kid's perspective and from a business owner perspective, I don't think there's any more powerful words than I'm sorry. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to do to fix it.
Yeah.
Like, yes. And if people would own that, like even just, you know, you guys could have pointed the blame. Well, our manufacturer, blah, 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 blah. It's like, listen, we see this problem. We're going to fix it. Not sitting there pointing blame and trying to get rid of it, but this is what we're going to do. And if every business took that on, I think the world would be a much better place.
Like taking responsibility.
Yeah. And that's what my kids, I will say, like, if I'm wrong, I'm like, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Like, I want you to, like, I have no qualms with, I don't like it, but.
No, I mean, I love the fact that you literally said, I am sorry this product is wrong.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I am sorry if my product offended you.
Right.
The non-apology.
Yeah, I'm sorry if my product didn't work on your cooktop.
Yeah.
There is one more story I'll share. There's this one customer from Ohio, I think. He got one of the products and he was not happy with it because I think I don't remember exactly, but he was not happy with it. And he wrote a handwritten mail. I don't know why, but maybe he's not on the emails. He does not use emails. Maybe a little like older person, but he wrote an email saying that, hey, Asha, I received this product, but it's defective. What do I do with it? Then she wrote back immediately saying that, don't worry about it. It's basically you paid for something that I promised. You didn't get it. Don't worry about it. And she, sorry for that experience, she immediately refunded and also wrote, I'll personally check one and I'll ship you. And she checked one and she shipped it. So basically to the person. And that's it. Right?
That's
a few days ago. And then we
few
get another
days, no, 1 month.
Written mail.
It's there 1 month after a month.
A month something that thank you for you sending me this. But I know you are trying to stand by your product. But you know what? This both I'm going to put it to test. I'm going to test them rigorously. And if the second work that you sent me works, then I'm going to pay you back. You don't have to do this again.
Wow.
And he wrote that, and we're like, wow, okay. And then immediately Asha wrote back, yes, I do stand by my product because I have designed them myself, right? And if you face any issues, I'm here, just let me know.
Hey, because he's your unofficial QA.
It is, right?
It feels good, yes.
It feels good, and we may hear something, say, if you hear good, it's good, it inspires you. If you hear not so good, you know you have a lot of things to improve on. Yeah. That's a simple rule that we follow. And I guess it's good because we just don't focus on money. It's all about that passion. How can the customer be happy? And then after a month, he really put it to rigorous test for like 2 months.
Awesome. 2 months.
And then he all wrote of a back sudden, again. After 2 months, we get another mail with a check in it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
So we have pinned that letter and checked in the office. This is how it works. And he literally said, I've never seen anyone... In this modern era, standing by product for the customer, and I don't deserve to get full refund because your second product is working. So and then maybe the quality escaped, and he gave a check and said, "Go and cash this check. You will go long ways." Right? Wow. It was like a blessing, and we just put that in her office always, just like pin. So a lot of inspiring things that happen. It just instills the trust and the confidence that. There are a lot of challenges on this path because you're just going against the stream. But, there are people who see this.
If you receive such emails, it motivates you more, doing better and better.
Yeah. Well, and you have two choices. I mean, some people would get mad and get angry and stupid customer, right? Yeah. Versus, wow, maybe there is something to this. What do I need to fix? What can I do to make it better?
Yeah, it's like putting yourself in customer shoes. Like, what do you feel better, you know?
Right.
You know? If somebody writes nice email or take care of you, then you feel better being a customer. It's the same.
Yeah, and no one is perfect, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a reality of life. No one is perfect. Your product also goes through a lot of manufacturing and
shipping, transit. It's not so like, okay, everything. Happen. So many things goes till it reaches the customers. It's just standing by that.
Yeah. But it's like, how can you give that experience to customer that, I bought it using my hard-earned money. Can I get that experience, right? And can I buy that? And that's, I think what I like about Asha, like you thought you asked about the supporting. What I like about her is that it's been 3 years, slightly more than 3 years for Evercraft. And I still remember when she said that I want to start something. I want to do this on my own for myself. She still lives that passion, right? And that's what shows here. And we don't want to lose on that. And that's what I think goes back to her, that it may not be practical, but I don't want to give customers anybody's hands, right?
Yeah.
It goes back to that. Many times, it's a roller coaster as both entrepreneurs. It's a really roller coaster. Many times, we just go behind our house. There's a trail. We walk on those miles and miles talking. Okay, let's come out. That's fine. It happens. We just support each other.
It's a fun thing, and we are teaching something to our kids also, as both being entrepreneurs, and then you need money to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you can live a lavish life or have food every day outside or go to a lavish restaurant and have food. So I so admire my kids. They're like, it's okay. We can have something, small at home. That's fine. You know, we need money for business. So it's okay. And they are like not like a shopping freak. I have 4 t-shirts, 2 jeans. I'm enough. It's okay. Especially my elder one. I saw envy her on that. I have seen a lot of teens, their friends or teens, they're like every weekend they go for shopping, malls and all. She said, why do I need it? I have so much 4 t-shirts, 2 jeans. That's enough for me.
So here's the irony on this. Is funny that your daughters are understanding priorities, right?
Yes.
But yet, your business is based on doing business over e-commerce. So we're going to talk about Amazon for a second here.
Mm-hmm, sure.
This is where I'm very proud of you. So when you're thinking you're down in the trenches and you're going through that 100+ recall and having to write the humble pie letters, Amazon came to you.
Yes.
Amazon came to you.
Yeah.
To interview you and highlight you as an entrepreneur on their marketplace. Yes. Can you give me a story on that? How did that happen?
Oh, that was so exciting. They actually emailed me saying that we are going to do a story So we'll do a video call. Then I said, maybe a something small thing. I never thought it's going to be such a big thing. So we said, okay, we'll do a video call. So we did a video call saying, okay, how I handle customers and how do we run a business? How do you provide a quality products? And
Amazon has visibility into all this.
They can see all.
They actually can even see your emails.
Emails, everything. They go to all the emails. And then they selected us, saying that, okay, we'll do an interview. We are going to come to, we are flying down to Dallas and we'll do a three-day interview.
So that was like,
everything.
What, three days?
I was like, okay, 3 days. Okay, I said, okay,
we'll do 3 days. What are we talking about for 3 days?
Okay. I don't know. So first day, okay, they come home. They wanted to keep it natural flow. So there was no like a prep questions. There was nothing. It's just on the spot. They used to ask question and then I used to answer. And then also I cooked in my kitchen. They filmed that too, that what I cook and with the cookwares and everything. Yeah, it was pretty exciting. 3 days, it's a long time. And then I don't like media that much. Not like means I'm a media shy. It was pretty nervous also. It's like so many, like the crew was from Hollywood. It was like lights everywhere.
Our home was studio.
It's like,
and there were those reflectors outside
the window.
Whoever is going from outside, they would come and ask, "Hey, what's happening here?"
They were filming on the trail, on the backyard with all the kids, and yeah, it was like pretty exciting.
Take two type of thing, right? I mean,
it's like proper.
Did you feel like a Hollywood star?
Yeah, I was excited though. I mean, I never thought it's going to be so big. The director, I think we talked to him and we were like always curious, then why did you select us? So I think he was talking to you, right? He mentioned saying that they went manually checking how we take care of the customer, what we write, you know, how we write.
How we take care of them.
They went manually and then they selected the sellers.
Wow.
And they did take long.
Then I said, okay.
It was, for me, it was... I don't know, out of the world experience when I'm seeing all these guys at home. They were like close to 15 people at home. They're just running around right from the clips tucked to their shirt so that they can put where they want, to the cameras, to the mic, everywhere.
I mean, it was so good. I mean, when they're filming, like the background, everything, that house was like the rearranging, it should be like this. And it was so perfect.
Yeah. The only thing, Asha, was... nervous was there was nothing like a script to talk to. It's like
it was
all
like
natural
instant questions and answers. Like I was like,
and they did it natural. Yeah. They wanted it to be natural, no prep, no makeup,
more spontaneous.
That's
it. Oh, your skin looked great on it. No makeup.
So what did it do for your business?
They do promote all the stories and they do a lot of advertisement in their social media.
Yeah.
It did boost my sales.
Yeah.
Yes, it did. Okay. A lot. It did help.
I think it is helping a lot, also now. Even now to reach people, do write back. There are people who have written back to Asha is that, hey, you're so inspiring and this is my dream to do something like this.
Yeah.
I'm keeping you in front of me. There was one person just wrote 2 days back.
Yeah,
I think
on
Instagram.
They
sent a message to her.
I want to be a human entrepreneur. I'm trying to do that, you know. I'm so proud that you have succeeded. So I'll follow your footsteps. Okay, cool.
Yeah, and that on a fun side, my younger one did ask that time once those guys, like, they were just packing up, were they? Are we going to be famous?
Well, we hope so. We're trying to make it happen. So, you know, this is a great conversation we've had about Ava Craft. And I am so jazzed. And, you know, I was telling Aaron, I'm like, if I cooked, I would absolutely buy everything you had.
You should.
I probably should anyway, let my boyfriend do all the cooking. But, I mean, this is a great story. And I really appreciate the time that you've taken to meet with us. And, you know, Vivek, the reason why we initially spoke was... Mm-hmm. Because of your own business, Beetle Q. And I think we're running out of time here for this context. Yeah. But, you know, you saw the challenges with Ava Craft launching. And you realized with supply chain, with having to manage and monitor so much traffic going back and forth between you and the manufacturer and getting all that information and data together. Just 2 seconds here. How did you apply what you were... the pain points you're experiencing with Ava Craft develop Beetle Q?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I think this is another thing where we saw a problem that's happening really, and then can something be done about it? Because one thing that from TI and then more from Evercraft, I saw that the supply chain is such a complex concept for any company, and almost every company and manufacturer faces it. And it is the lifeline of any business, because you're either losing customers or you're losing business or you're losing your even B2B customer. That all happens. So looking at all these issues, I think what thought is, what if we develop something where the customer, the businesses get complete visibility into the supply chain logistics from anywhere in the world? And when I say visibility, is not only like simple GPS tracking. A lot of the products, the business has actually lost millions of dollars worldwide. In fact, pharma industry alone loses close to $30 billion every year worldwide.
Wow.
Just for logistic losses. Like $50 billion worth of cargoes is lost. They're just not traceable. So, and then if you look at this automotive manufacturing that I was in, they lose every hour some tens of millions of dollars if the production stops. So, and this all happens because of this logistic that's starting somewhere, originating somewhere, and reaching the destination. Now, these losses amount not only to the immediate loss then, but it's a loyalty loss, customer loss. It has a ripple effect. So we actually in Beetlekey, what we're doing is we have a patent that we're working through. It's an artificial intelligence that we have built on the edge computing, we call it, which when used, it not only helps monitor conditions, but it learns the conditions and even can predict any losses that can happen. And it can give the alert well in advance so that you actually can go avoid those losses and get back the supply chain on track.
So it's proactive.
It's very proactive type of technology. So to give you an example, if it is a breakage, a lot of these electronic parts break and you just lose it. But this technology can tell you upfront that, hey, if the way, for example, the truck is going, if this continues like that in next 6 hours, this is going to break. So they have immediate proactive actions to go stop it, fix it, move on. So now here, we're not telling when the problems are already occurred, losses are occurred, but we're telling them upfront to the customer so that the losses can be prevented. So it's not only the loss prevention, and at that point, you can avoid losing customer loyalty, the sales, and everything, right? There are instances we talked to some of the prospective lead customers where the shelf life of a product is just 3 days. But this avoidance can actually help them extend that by, let's say, 1 day. That's
a lot of money.
Avoidance of millions of dollars
Wow.
of loss.
So
that's Beetlekey that we're doing.
So Beetlekey, it definitely is going to be a topic in the future we're really excited
sure,
about
yeah.
as well. So the way I think it is you know, it's artificial. It's taking logistics into the AI world via edge computing with an IoT
right.
device, basically.
Right.
So I used all those buzzwords. All
yeah.
to feed
hashtag, hashtag, hashtag,
hashtag.
We covered it.
So Vivek, Asha, thank you so much for your time.
Yes.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say on behalf of as we wrap things up here?
No, thank you for having us here. It was great chatting with you both.
It's really good. I mean, it's we look at it like inspiring for ourselves. It's like a flashback. It helps us keep going forward. That's it.
Well, and to see how far you've come too. Sometimes you're so in the moment that you're like, and then you look back, you're like,
it
dang,
is.
I've done a lot.
Yes,
like,
it actually
time
flies. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for
giving
us
this opportunity. Thank you.
No worries at all. So if anyone wants to check out Evercraft, you could find Evercraft on Amazon, as well as Amazon, or try this one more time, Evercraft.com.
Yes.
And we'll have that in the show notes. And Beetlekey, we'll go into a little bit more detail next time around, but we'll put that up just
sure,
as well if you want to check out what Vivek, because apparently Vivek is not doing enough supporting and growing Evercraft. He has to start another company.
Your roller coaster wasn't enough. He had to start his own.
Yeah. No, they want to make their own amusement park, apparently. So thank you very much, everyone. And that, I think, wraps up for us for another discussion on innovation calling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.